This is the second of two special episodes of the podcast from Munich, Germany, where I get to talk to the people quite literally shaping our automotive future. If you'd like to see pictures of the cars that we discuss in this programme, then visit the page for episode 516 or follow Gareth Jones TV on Threads. Now, come and join me at the car design event. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth and I'm back from a short visit to Germany to the cryptically titled Car Design event, which was a week of launches, reveals. There was debate going on there amongst leading players from the industry's design departments and carrozziera. I think that's how you say it. There were suppliers featured there, people like Alcantara. I didn't know, by the way, Alcantara's a company. I thought Alcantara was just the name of a fabric. I learned something. There were educational institutions there as well, students displaying their work and how they were influencing future design, and what they called the automotive media and influencer communities were represented. I think they mean you and me. While I was there, I had the privilege of hearing a panel featuring the heads of many design departments as they discussed automotive design trends, how AI is now an essential tool of the process, and basically how much they love their job. They were great. One of the people on the panel was Laurent Boulet, the general manager of Kia Next Design Europe. I asked him if it's difficult now being original in a brand that's become so massive.
Well, I must say that the advantage of working with Kia is actually we are big, but we have been always working as a kind of startup for a long time, but we have this kind of family atmosphere.
Right.
We have a lot of people, but the design community stays very, how to say, connected, compact, and very internally communicating pretty well. So we have a lot of exchange. We're in Europe, but we have a lot of exchange with Korea, American. So we are very, very global. So somehow, when I feel working with Kia, I feel the world is in our studio. We are working for all markets. But same time, our company, Kia, is one of those outsiders. You know, we are an outsider.
Almost a disruptor.
We like that.
Yeah.
To stay the outsider with new product, with new technology. And we are fast. We're working fast. So we have a strategy. We know what we want. We have a design philosophy. We respect it. We work with this. We use AI tools also, of course, for the content to produce more ideas. But we know what we want before. We're using the tool. The tool is just support. We don't expect the tool to give us the ideas.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's a tool. It's a tool, and then we have to build the car. And it takes time. We have to present in front of the top management, and they have to accept.
So are you given a message? You know, this is what Kia should be. Go off and design it. Or do you lead it? Do you offer things up to the management, and they say, we'll take this, we won't take that?
We have different teams. We are Next team, which works on projects till 2040-50, and then we have the future team, which really super advanced, and they have really a vision. They work with context design, they work with a society, they're really into really intellectual stuff. They do workshops, they visit, they go all over the world, and this future team is helping the Next team to create the strategy. We have both. We're doing
right.
both.
You know, you're communicating between all of you all the time.
Yeah,
right.
All the time. So you have future team projects, and you have Next team project, where more towards the production in the next decade, let's say. But the future team is very important in this aspect to project a vision, and this is very important for our chairman in Korea, because it's a very futuristic, and it's good for us. It's good because it's pushing us. It's pushing the boundaries. We can be there. No, it's not enough. Do it again. And we said, but it's nice. That's not enough. He wants to be provocated as well. He wants to see things didn't expect it.
There is bold design in Kia at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a favourite? Do you have, you know, it's wrong to have a favourite child, isn't it? But of the cars that you've been involved in the last 10 years, you've been with Kia more?
Yeah. 15 years, yeah.
Is there one that is either pivotal or particularly important to you, or you think that's where we're going, that's what we've done?
My first project at Kia was the Kia Pop in 2010, which was this little EV urban car with an ellipse, almost looking like a Soyuz cabin. Chrome completely. And for me, this represented always a visionary product. You know, it's very high tech, but it's friendly, but it's very futuristic. But it brings something to the soul, you know?
Yeah.
So this project I still like very much.
What does Kia stand for? What does the brand stand for? You know, it's very easy to divine what Ford is, what Corvette is, what Jaguar is.
Kia, we want to make for our customer, for people, we want to create a better life quality. This is important. So the product we design is, of course we need car, but we want to be responsible. We want to have this mindset where we work on materials. We also work and sponsor companies that clean up the oceans, you know, recycle the plastic and all. You know, they're taking care of the life of people. Talking for mobility, Hyundai is also working a lot on personal autonomous vehicles. So for elderly people to move by themselves.
Right.
Mobility is a big question for elderly people.
Yes.
To stay independent. And so things like that, you know. And it's about a mindset. So Kia is about a mindset. We are, this, like I explained, the EV help us to change our mindset.
Yeah.
And then we're going to adapt this to more conventional petrol car or hybrid vehicles. But the mindset is the key thing.
Like you said.
Kia is a mindset.
Like you said in the panel, EVs have informed the design of internal combustion engine cars now.
Yeah.
Not just the styling, but design too,
design,
right?
Design, we take risk. We know we have been educated. We educate ourselves how to take risk a bit more, to go out of the box a little bit and to make the box bigger. So I would say Kia is a mindset. It's a new mindset.
I'm hearing the word future a lot from you.
Yeah. But that's what the company is about. It's really futuristic. You can see our colleagues from Hyundai using steel as a constraint to design forms.
Yes.
It's a very interesting approach.
Yeah, that's a conversation I want to have.
Every project is something else. Every car has its own character. Every car has its own story. Mm. And the people need to feel it. And that's why they need to connect with the vehicle, and then they connect with the brand. You
know? It looks to me that both Kia and Hyundai are trying to avoid the Russian doll syndrome. Every car is a smaller version. Everything is unique.
No. That even on EV lineup, with Karin, there was a lot of discussion. We don't want to repeat ourselves.
Right.
We want to have a consistency in a design philosophy, which is opposite united, based on contrast. So, because life is based on contrast.
Yes.
You know? So you have on EV2, you have vertical, you have horizontals, you have soft surface, and then you have very technical details. And this is a process for design, which is normal. And I love what Paul Bourak says about Barossism. We want, and time is the judge. It's true.
Time is
a judge, and it will stay like that.
How are they looking? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah, and that's where we build the brand, you know?
Yeah.
If we are in 2 years, we don't like this design anymore. The brand is a bit
vague.
Vague.
Yeah.
So consistency is important, but we don't want to repeat ourselves.
That's a difficult task. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laurent, I know you're busy. Thank you very, very much for your time today. Yeah. Really love that. Laurent Boulet there mentioned Paul Bourak a very highly regarded designer from BMW with countless design classics in his portfolio. One example of his work was on display at the event, the utterly gorgeous BMW E25 Turbo, a concept from 1972. You'll know the car when you see it. It's an iridescent orange mid-engine car that ultimately led the styling direction of the BMW M1 and the 8 Series and the Z1 and the 2002 M1 Homage concept, of course. Remember that? Imagine designing a concept that still has influence and still looks extraordinary some 50 years later. That's kind of the responsibility on the shoulder of some of the designers here. Next, I had a chat with Mattia Gessi from Pagani. He explained what his role and responsibilities are.
I'm in charge of the body interior manager in Pagani, and I define all the aesthetic aspect for the development of the component and for define the model in Pagani, especially for the standard series. So not a special project, but a standard project.
There's nothing standard about any Pagani, is there? Yeah. This, as a designer, you know, this must be like going to heaven. You're given one of the most exciting brands that there are, and are you told, right, go, make it fly, you know, do something incredible with it? Are you given liberty with your design?
In Pagani, we have no limit in design because we follow a passion, we follow a handcraft and manual sensibility to create, to invent a new component. So we try to exprime all the design aspect that Horatio would for our car and for our customer.
And how do you do that? Do you go with extremes? Do you think, okay, I'm going to increase the size of the rear wing for dramatic purposes and then think I'll increase it even more? Is it like you fully load it, your design, as it were?
Yeah, we introduce also the incredible things on a car. Let me say, we introduce a sort of a luggage set in the internal of the engine bay and in a rear bonnet. So the possibility to create a new component and a strange component for automotive is very, very open, not limit.
You enjoying your work at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. And we now we work on the next evolution of the Utopia, in particular the racing road legal. A new version.
It's a dramatic piece of design,
yeah.
And job done. I think job
yeah.
done. Grazie mille.
Thank you.
Wonderful
thank
to
you.
Meet you. Wonderful. Thank you. Everywhere you look at the car design event, you'd see a stunning bit of design on display, such as the Lamborghini Vision Gran Turismo concept, or a peek at the next electric golf-sized VW. And standing next to these cars would be the people responsible for them. And they're more than happy to chat about their work. Genesis, the upmarket division of the mighty Hyundai Kia Corporation, had the truly elegant Genesis X Grand Convertible concept on display. It had been revealed at the Seoul Mobility Show in Korea last month, but here it was, making its European debut. And the interior and the exterior designers were both there speaking about their car. I also spoke to Moritz Martin, the senior exterior designer of Genesis Design Europe, and I asked him how long he expects it to take for Genesis to define their own design language.
Very good question. I think the current generation already defines very unique design elements. Mm. And with the next generation, the brand is getting much more brave, much more self-confident. And I think this will be the bigger breakthrough for the brand identity and creating our own identity in the premium luxury market. So I think the next generation will be making quite an impression on the market, on people. It's much more bold, it's much more self-confident than the current generation, which is more trying to please people and offer them something that they feel comfortable with, whereas the new generation is
there
much
are
bold.
Plenty of familiar design cues, I think, in existing Genesis cars, not least of all the logo, which evokes a kind of a tradition of Aston Martin or Mini, if you like, right. You know, sort of British quality. So that's where you're getting your quality from. It took Lexus 40 years to establish, and they've just reduced the number of cars that are selling in Britain. They still haven't done it. How are you going to avoid Lexus's mistakes with Genesis?
I think Lexus was trying to be different for the sake of being different.
Right.
I hope I don't hurt any feelings
there.
But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Genesis is trying to be a little bit more pleasant to the eye. We focus a lot on how do you say in English?
Das ist in Deutsch?
Kind of timeless designs.
Timeless, maybe. Okay,
The goal is always to be reductive and have a timeless design. And this is something like we heard before with the interview of Paul Bruck, that timeless designs, they can stand the test of time. I hope that if you look back on our products in a few years, you will realize that they still look good on the market, that they weren't trying to be fashionable and different for the sake of being different. They were trying to be timeless. And this is, I think, a very consistent design strategy that we can build upon and we can evolve upon without
you're playing the long game
all the time.
And
it takes time. I mean, you can't rush things, so the brand is taking the time that it needs. We have the backing of a big motor group to be substantial in the future, so I think that will not cut the timing short. You can't accelerate the process of establishing a brand from overnight, but hopefully we can be a little bit quicker than other brands.
Before you run out of time. Yeah. The four-seater convertible that you've got here, X Grand convertible, is extraordinarily elegant. It is, I don't think it's over-designed. In some ways, I think it's quite minimalist. Its profile is essentially a straight line.
Yes.
I know that's accentuated by being a convertible. Is minimalism a safe way to develop a strength in the brand?
I would say that it's not the minimalism, it's what we call reduction.
Okay.
So we reduce elements, not over minimalizing things, but taking away the unnecessary. And in our modern world full of overload, technological overload, media overload, reduction is a certain shape of or form of luxury. It allows you to enjoy your time and you're not confused with things you don't need. So that is our interpretation of luxury. And I think that makes sense. It's a very strong concept, and we are able to show that in our shapes as well.
Who buys a Genesis at the moment? Is it a younger, more agile, wealthy person who might buy a BMW or an Aston Martin or a Mercedes? Is the profile younger than that generation? Are you looking to young people or wealthy people?
I would say in the domestic market, the customers are quite diverse through all ages, but it's a more executive car, so it's definitely the G90, the G80 are more the cars that you buy and you have a chauffeur, you're kind of a CEO of a smaller company or a bigger company. And then we have lifestyle products like the GV60 that appeals obviously more to a younger crowd. And if you see them on the road, they're usually driven by younger people as well. We have also the smaller segments like G70 that I think appeal more to, let's say, the middle-aged customer group, maybe more in America. But like every brand, obviously, we would prefer to attract even more younger people. But since it's luxury premium, it's expensive.
It starts with the wealthy, and then we're filtered down over time.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Listen, good luck with the long game. I've driven the G60, and I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It feels premium.
You have the sport version with the 600 horsepower. It's a quite good impression.
I'm looking forward to driving that one. Listen, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Sean. One of the things that impressed me today at this event was something that the person I'm talking to now, Melissa Gostart, said. Are you head of design for interiors for Genesis? What's your title?
I'm advanced designer for Genesis Europe, CMF.
When you were talking about the interior of this car, that you were using crystal, the materials, the finish. Tell me about the crystal on the interior of this car, Melissa.
Yeah, so somehow it was always my dream to work with Swarovski, not because I like them as a jewelry piece, but I always saw them in BMW, and I thought it's such a nice idea to bring jewelry pieces in the car, because the car is not this functional element anymore. It's like a living room, it's like your maybe even bedroom, very private room. You spend a lot of time, and I wanted to bring something like very special, unique, luxury piece in the car. And for me, this was always either something like really goldish or a crystal from Swarovski.
I think gold can be a bit kitsch.
Yes.
But crystal is like diamond, right? Yes. It's a very essence of beauty. Show me in the car how you've done this.
So we have this one here. This is actually the ventilation knob. Theoretically, you could move it. In this model, unfortunately, no. But I think you can imagine how to move it. And the even better thing are these two shifters. I think this you can touch if you want.
A crystal touch shifter.
And you feel how cold it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you feel the like natural product. You see the reflection. Also, the gear shifter is from crystal. So all like the important things that you touch when driving are crystal.
Yeah, the contact points.
Yes. For Genesis was the first time. We had some like glass elements, but not crystal. Not the pure, authentic crystal.
But that transparency from glass translates well to crystal. It's part of your design language.
Yeah.
And with a new brand, a relatively new brand, 10 years now, Genesis, you're still evolving. You are defining what a Genesis is. How does that feel?
It's great. I mean, I was before in some very like traditional German car brands, and I was in a Chinese startup. So both I did not really like that much, but Genesis is the perfect combination because we have this strong background of Hyundai. So we are safe, let's say. We have all the knowledge from all these great people, but we are still somehow a startup kind of.
Yes.
We are the baby of the group.
Yes.
So we have also more freedom, I would say. And yeah, it's great. It's great to kind of create the strategy, to create the identity, and to really push materials, because it's not like in the German brands that we say like, but this is what we always did. So we just continue. Everything is almost for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. You've got no heritage. Yeah. You're defining it.
Yes.
One of the things I like about this is the blue wood.
Yeah.
I've never seen blue wood on a car. Where did that come from? Is that your idea?
To be very honest, our boss, Luke, he had very strong vision for this concept because he's a great designer. He has all the trends in mind. And
is that Luke Donkervolker?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know him. he is just great, and he has great ideas, and he was the one saying he wants blue. Without any exception, he wants blue. So also the wood had to be blue. And we tried to, of course, it was then our job to find nice materials that are matching his vision and to bring everything together. We found this eucalyptus that is also then matching our Mediterranean concept that is perfect and has this great shimmer and all these like sophisticated texture that I really like. And yeah, it's blue.
Sophisticated is right. It looks sumptuous. It looks rich. Yeah. It looks an upmarket brand. It's not a Hyundai. It's built on Hyundai. Yeah. Sorry, Hyundai. Rhymes with Monday.
Hyundai.
Okay, thank you. and yet, it's its own thing. That's hard, isn't it? It being unique in a car design.
Yes, but I think it's important to have this one leader with a strong vision and that we all understand his design language and we can follow. Even without having a heritage, I think you can see the connection. I don't know if you saw our coupe, but we have strong connection from this car to the coupe. We have a strong connection also from this car to our race car that was just presented in New York.
Yeah.
So even without having heritage and like rules that we have to follow, we have our own identity. And it's a mix of Korean identity, of European identity, of American identity, because this is a strong market for us. So I think this mix and of like being open for all cultures and trying to combine different aesthetics, I think this is the challenge. I mean, I like the Italian brands. They are doing Italian design. I love it. I love Italy. But I think for us, it's very difficult, but I think we do it in a great way, to combine all the cultures and to make a product that looks nice in every country.
Interesting. I've been describing the Hyundai Kia Corporation as a former national manufacturer that's become a multinational.
Yeah.
And what you're telling me is that you are exactly doing that. You're taking inspiration from the entire planet.
Yeah. Thank you.
Melissa, thank you very much indeed. This is so lovely. It's properly elegant. It's not over-designed, but it's full of design detail. Love it.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be part of this great team.
Hey, here's something I'm going to do here that I never thought I'd be able to do, and that is sit in a Pagani. And the guy who designed this car is just sitting behind me. I asked him for permission to do this. I'm in the Pagani Utopia, which is carrying on the tradition of Pagani Extreme Design. And just exquisite execution. I'm going to close one of the scissor doors. Oh, clunk. Have you ever sat in a Pagani? The vision in front of you is extraordinary. It doesn't look like a car. It looks like an Onyx watch, perhaps, from the 1950s. It has a tradition in here. There's lots of exposed metal and bezels, not any screens visible. There's one very small screen visible for essential information, but everything else is like an incredible designer watch. The steering wheel is machined from a single piece of aluminium, reducing the number of parts and therefore the buzz and the rattle. Exquisite. And when you're paying, I don't know how much for this car, you want something very, very special. I don't know. In some ways, it's like being in a machine from the 1950s. It's like being in a race car, but it is just so beautiful and incredibly purposeful. The gear stick is completely exposed. There is no, what do you call it, gaiter? You've got a visible action with two pull push levers that you can see moving when you engage one of the six gears. How many gears this car has? Six? One, two, three, eight gears? Or is that only reverse and neutral on the end? Man alive, I can't imagine what it would feel like to drive something exquisite like this. I would be terrified. There is an argument that says designing a supercar is easier than designing a more humble, less outlandish vehicle, such as a mid-size hatchback, for instance. Lorenzo Ogelli had to do exactly that. He's the exterior designer of the VW ID Every One concept. I asked him how this car came about and what its mission objective is.
I would say that is explained by the name as well. So we really tried, you know, to bring the mobility to everyone. So we really wanted to try to have a car which is suiting the needs of like the widest range of customers, let's say.
Everyone, literally in the name.
If possible, yeah.
How do you do that?
Hopefully like this. That's right. No, yeah, I mean, how to say, when we were considering, you know, the target group of the car, we were considering several scenarios. So, for example, we were thinking this car could be, I don't know, the first car, perhaps, of your son or daughter. It could be, for example, suitable for like a B2B. business. It can be, you know, like a delivery service. Because, for example, in Germany, we have plenty of VW app, which are still used broadly in terms of pizza delivery, sushi delivery, this kind of stuff, given by, of course, the practicalities, the size and the footprint and so on. But also, we have plenty of VW customers, which are also like a bit forward in terms of age.
Mm-hmm.
So we really would like to have a car which can cover, you know, 18 to 80.
Right, everyone.
Exactly.
Again.
Everyone, of course, wants you have the driving license. Otherwise, we could say 0 to 80, and then it would be a bit of a problem.
And it looks like a VW. You know, there are golf queues there. There are ID queues there as well. Is that what's happening at Volkswagen at the moment? Are the traditional Volkswagen brands and the new Volkswagen brands merging in terms of design and styling?
I would say so. I would say so, because especially under the new design direction with Andreas Mint, we are really focused on bringing back, you know, the true Volkswagen-ness, let me say. So we're really taking, you know, the best of what we did, and of course we give it like a modern twist,
yeah,
and with new ideas. But it has to be clearly recognizable as a Volkswagen. So at the moment we are working with these three pillars of design. So we have the stability, the likability, and the special ingredient, secret sauce, let me say. So we really want to do something which is logic, clean, always have to look solid, reliable, stable, but with a twist, you know. So we want to give it a little bit of something special, you know, to give a bit more character to the car. Otherwise, it would be, you know, an appliance.
Yeah, an appliance, yeah, exactly.
So we need to relate to the car.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, from car lovers to car lovers.
And this is very close to a production car.
Absolutely.
It's not. It's more than a design exercise, isn't it?
I don't know. This is quite concrete. So what you see here is like around 80-85% close to production. So the car is expected to be in the market 2027. And you can really expect to see this same design with just a minor simplification given by, of course, the segment of the car. So
yeah,
you can expect
slightly smaller wheels. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but not by much.
Not
by much.
Yeah.
You know, the character is still going to be there. You know, of course, the axle width might be a little bit narrower, but again, not by much, because the character is still going to be focused on the stance, on the prominent wheel arches. We really want to keep it. Design elements, they're all the same. Of course, when you might put the two cars one next to the other and you're a professional, you notice some difference. But to the customer eye, they're really, you know, like really, really, really similar. Even within the studio, I mean, we are all quite happy about the transition between the show car and the production car, because we're really keeping the essence of what we see here is completely, how to say, being retained.
That must be very satisfying as a designer.
Absolutely.
Where everything reaches the line, right?
Absolutely.
How happy are you?
I mean, on a scale to 1 to 10, maybe 25. No, it's really, really nice. Also because we have a really nice work environment. I'm really happy with the team. I got a lot of support, you know, from the management, from the communication. It's really been helping. It's really been, you know, like a life coach, a parent, let's say, a surrogate father. but really, like, we work like in really good harmony, you know, with positive interaction, positive competition, helping each other, because in the end we want to deliver like the best product which you can, because it's the best for everybody. So it's really, really nice. Cannot complain.
Thank you very much indeed. Lovely to
Thank
talk
you very
to
much.
You. Appreciate that. And well done, a very successful design in my opinion, because it's not too much.
Thanks so much.
With me now is Tisha Johnson from a car brand that nobody in the world heard of until, 3 weeks ago here in Europe, where the name Slate suddenly appeared. Where did Slate come from? It was part of a previous project?
Slate is connected to a company called Rebuild Manufacturing. And at Rebuild, one of the focus areas is really around rebuilding the manufacturing base in the United States. And as a result of their beginning operations and looking at one particular inhibitor around building a workforce is that many Americans are not able to afford the average price of a new car.
So you've come up with a car that's driven by societal needs rather than a design ethic, is that right? Because well, it's cheap, that's your USP.
So the number one goal that we have is to absolutely deliver a low-cost vehicle to the American worker. And inseparable is that it must be desirable. So therefore, I don't think we need to separate the chicken nor the egg here. I signed on personally, and the team of designers that we have signed on because we know that we can deliver both.
Tell me about the car, which is only called a Slate at the moment. That's yes. It. You're building the brand. It's like buying a Tesla. It doesn't matter which model. It's that brand, right? You're buying a Slate. It's a small EV about the size of what, the Chevy LUV from the late 70s?
You know, it's a very small footprint that you can relate to form factors that have gone away. The small footprint vehicle is generally missing from the American automotive landscape.
Indeed, yeah.
And so many people really miss being able to get a vehicle that isn't just massive. So, you know, we liken it to a few different footprints, but you certainly, since it's a truck, you can look at older trucks. You could think of trucks from the 70s and 80s that often had a footprint similar to this that are now gone from the landscape. It's not trying to be one of those trucks, but there's obviously a space-efficient footprint that we are achieving.
How small is it?
It's very small. I often liken it to or compare it to, you know, as far as truck goes, it's a couple hundred mils shorter than a Ford Maverick. But it has about the same load capacity, actually a little bit more. It's similar to a Ford Bronco, but it is a two-door with a ton of utility.
One of the ways I've learned from your presentation earlier on in which you're achieving this affordability is you're delivering cars that are unpainted.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Isn't that remarkable? Yes. So starting from a clean slate, we were able to think about the complete manufacturing process. And in every aspect of the development and the business, we could rethink through a filter of true efficiency. Because the more efficient we are, the less complexity and the less cost, associated cost, then the more we are able to deliver back to customers.
Right.
And that's the key. So I often say that for every bit of cost we save in manufacturing, we pass that savings on to our future customers. So no paint facility. And that has a ton of benefits that go beyond the first obvious, which is that the footprint of the manufacturing facility itself would be smaller.
Right. So
that's just one beginning point. But obviously, there's a lot that we're able to then deliver back that is, you know, more environmentally sound. And again, on the experience side, you actually end up with more on the other side as a customer.
Right.
So the vehicle, as it's running through the line, it is one color. It is slate gray. But once you roll off the line, you can have whatever color you can think of.
But it's up to you to do it.
Well, it's up to you to choose it.
Right.
And then we love the DIY nature of our vehicle, and we've made sure that it is as easy as possible to achieve whatever personalization you want, and you can decide how much you want to put your hands into it. So if you want us to do it, we'll do it.
I was in, you're going to like this, I was in a car that you probably don't know, I don't think exists in the United States. It's called a Suzuki Ignis. It's a little upright, tiny hatch. And I got in the car, and the first thing I noticed about it was wind-down windows.
Crank windows.
Which
windows.
I've been campaigning for 20 years. You don't need to have electric windows in every car.
Absolutely.
And this is something that Slate do, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's this story that has been pervasive for the past 20, 25 years that it's better to have an automated window and that everybody only wants that. And it turns out it is not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's reliable, simple mechanism that is low cost, that people are happy to have. It's durable, and so we have it in the car. It certainly says something about us, and it says something about the sensibilities of people. People can appreciate that.
Where is Slate in terms of manufacturing at the moment? I've seen a model of the car here. Is there a development car at the moment? Is there a factory geared up? How close are you?
We're deep in the early-ish development phase. So in other words, we have beta vehicles. We have early prototype vehicles that we are testing, that we've shown at our reveal. We've shown some of them. And we are looking at very squarely a production start date. So our first vehicle off the line in late 2026, so
really?
Q4 2026.
And where's that going to be? Where's the factory?
So we're in the U.S., and we're really excited about this next phase. Yeah.
I notice you're a little non-specific there, in the U.S., but not in the heartland of car manufacturing, not Michigan. Is it going to be a greenfield project?
It's not greenfield, no. And we have a location that we are, planned, and it's pretty exciting. But I think if you want to talk manufacturing, I would love for you to connect with. We have a few individuals on our team that would be great to talk with you about it.
I'm going to be following the Slate story for three reasons. Number one, wind down windows. You had me at wind down windows. Number two, cars are way too big, way too heavy, and way too complex. And this is the first pickup that I've seen in the last 10 years that addresses those issues. And third of all, my favourite rock and roll band in the whole world are a British rock and roll band from the West Midlands called Slade. And when Americans say Slate, they sounds like Slade. So this car's named for me.
That's great. Oh, my gosh.
And being a Welshman, Slate is the foundation of my nation. The Slate from North Wales, where I come from, covers something like 90% of the houses around the world. I've just painted my new house with loads of grey. So I'm on brand.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Lovely talking with you. Really.
Lovely talking to you, Tricia. Okay. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank
good
you
luck with Slate.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Gareth Jones on Speed. I hope you've enjoyed my visit to Munich. I hope you found inspiration from some of the very eloquent answers I've had from car designers showing off their wares here. Gareth Jones on Speed, of course, will return. See ya.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share, and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!